morning and welcome to worship on this New Year's Day here at the table. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as the co-pastors for this community of faith. And this morning, we are really grateful to welcome a colleague and a friend, Reverend Jennifer Godo. Jen is the director of Bread of Life, which was started by Sandra and Jean a number of years ago, and is a spiritual director and United Methodist pastor. And we're very grateful to have you with us this morning, Jen. So I invite us, oh, Deirdre's gonna clap. Thank you, Deirdre. Lead that clapping, boldness. We're aware that there are trees down on D Street. Someone shared another street that they were down on, that many people are here this morning without power in your houses. And so we are grateful for this very moment to be together, recognizing how the brokenness of the world is yet again all around us. And so I invite us to be in a spirit of prayer. And actually, as you're willing and able, I invite you to stand and to hear this call to worship, and then we'll move together in song. Loving God, we call all the seekers and the dreamers, all the believers, all of the glass half full optimists and lighthouse keepers. We call the star chasers and bedtime prayer speakers. Bring your questions, your hopes, your longings, your faith, your doubt, your fear into this space. For God is here, God is everywhere. So we invite you to stay standing and join our voices as you are led. This is our music team sharing Creator of the Stars of Night. Thank you. invite us to be seated, and we'll keep moving together in worship, and we'll move in prayer that comes to us from Seska.
Blessed are you who turn your face up to the sky, who open your arms to feel the wind, who notice all the things that we should notice. Blessed are you who are fluent in wonder and familiar with awe. Blessed are you who, even now, dream dreams, who have not lost hope, who swear the glass is still half full. Blessed are you who plant trees and sing the harmony, who tell the children how this world can be magic. Blessed are you who walk and seek and turn over every stone, pointing out all the corners and colors that God lives in. Blessed are you. Amen.
People call them wise, or counselors, or even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. Born in a dream, the King Herod's scheme. They went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way.
Happy New Year. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We're grateful to be together this New Year's morning with you. For those of us gathering online at table.life, Pastor Linda is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Today's bulletin is available with the QR codes for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. For those in person, Godly Play will return on January 8th. We have a special binders with coloring pages and stickers for children in the back of the sanctuary. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. If you would like to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith series will begin January 22. Learn more and sign up online at thetableumc.org. So I've been told that my random sharing of the stories or the beautiful moments that I have here it has its own beauty, which I really love doing that. So there's something there's a saying back home, and I think it's usually a lot of people say this, that after storm, there's always silver lining. There's hope, there's rainbow, and there's light. So we had three miracles, I would say. I mean, we had two miracles, and the third one would be you, but the first miracle was that when I walked in this morning, or was driving in, we had one of our sign outside, I was super worried it might blow away and will break, and it's super light. And we had it for candle lighting, and it was a sign just right on this corner, and it survived. Not even a scratch on it. And I was like, oh my God. Pastor Matt said, it's a miracle. It's like, oh yeah, I'm saved. Okay, it's a miracle. Yes. Yeah, that was a miracle. Number two miracle was, usually when it's raining, we prefer to have communion inside or on a corridor. But this morning, the lawn was dry. It's so beautiful. It was like, wow. That's God's way of saying it's new life. And the third is all of us. Year 2023, we are seeing here and we are alive. We are breathing. We are happy. And we are here. So with that note, I would really like all of you who are here. I have a sign-up folder for all of you for volunteering to help volunteering the way of connecting. Pastor Matt will be passing the folders to each side. I had a clipboard, but I left it at home, which is like, oh my God. So, yeah, and I would like to really thank for those who are volunteering, and I'll be sending out an online link too at the same time, so you'll see your name when you have your name there on the online portal too. So I would like to would invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing Refugee King.
A dream. stars in the sky, but the Spirit of God. Led down into Egypt from Herod to hide. No place for his parents, no country or tribe.
I want to invite just families to know that in the back of the sanctuary we have some coloring books and materials there for our youngest friends, and Godly Play, as Sarneet named, will be back again next Sunday at both 9:30 and 11. And for those online, it's actually Kara Tupi who's with us this morning. Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and we've been hearing this reading put to music over these morning together. And now I invite you to follow along either with your own Bibles or with those on your phones or with the words on the screen. This is Matthew 2, 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise ones from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the wise ones and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The next portion of scripture will move with Herod chasing that young family. And so we're going to move now into that piece of scripture set to music. This is our music team sharing a song written several years ago by the Brilliants called Run.
Run, Mary, run. Run, Mary, run. That king wants to kill your baby son. Run, alien, run. Run, alien, run. The days of our open arms are done.
The Gospel of Matthew continues. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise ones, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise ones. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." As Jen moves forward to share our message, our musicians will move down, and I just invite us to stay in that space of prayer.
That was a lot, right? This world and its gifts and its suffering, they're a lot. This piece of the story of Christmas and its aftermath can sometimes be skipped over. I am grateful for the time and the space we are giving it today. I'm also grateful to be in this place of worship with you, many of you who are familiar faces after volunteering side by side at Table Farm. The farm community was the first place I found welcome in Sacramento when my family moved here in June of 2020, and we weren't going anywhere indoors yet. I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts in all of our hearts and minds be worthy and acceptable in your sight. May they be acts of true worship on this day. Amen. I'm wondering if you've ever been woken from a dream, alarmed to take action. I sometimes wake afraid, although I don't usually have a memory of the dream to know what the source of the fear is. But when that happens, I've learned to quiet my fears by taking a walk through my house. Almost always, there is something to address. A door left unlocked, a window cracked open, a light on. One time, the refrigerator door left slightly ajar. In these cases, I tend to that detail, and then I return to a peaceful sleep. But sometimes, the fear that wakes us in the night can't be solved easily. And sometimes it can't be solved at all. There are also times when it just needs to be placed in the context of an anxiety that is not a good source of wisdom. And so how can we know the difference? How to respond to these moments where we're uncertain, afraid, not sure what to do next? When we read these passages from the Gospel of Matthew, I feel like we're missing the part where the magi, the wise ones, are pinching themselves, where they're trying to figure out what's real and what should be listened to. I wonder how we can become like those seekers, the magi, who now guide us, and become like Joseph, who were able to gain wisdom from their dreams that called them to right action. At Bread of Life, where I've been working for the past year, one way we grow to become this type of person is to have co-listeners. For me, many of those people have been of different generations, mostly older generations. The place where I work is soaked in this listening for the way to direct our lives. Spiritual directors meet with others one-on-one to listen together for how God is showing up in their lives, how God is calling them to show up for others. Or the co-listeners might be in one of our writing groups, where people are given the supportive community and the spaces they need to write their hearts. Or, as a very direct correlation, there are even some who meet together and they share and listen to their actual dreams, keeping note of the images and the words and how the Holy might be drawing something out from deep within. These wise elders are also seekers themselves. Seeking the wisdom of others, there's this generous spirit among those who have been seeking the Holy for so long, to both share and to learn the ways that we have each found the Spirit among us. It is true that sometimes our dreams or our fears when waking prompt us to the action we need to take as a response to God calling us. And sometimes that action is a change of direction. The Magi changed their route and went home by another way, we hear, in order to protect Jesus from the anger of Herod. Joseph picked up his family and ran to Egypt in order to protect them. Some of you have been looking at this artwork by Lauren Wright Pittman over the week. And this is what Lauren writes about this work that shows the Holy Family as they flee to Egypt. Joseph must uproot his family from their home to ensure their son will become who he was made to be. In this image, the Holy Family escapes the wrath of Herod in Bethlehem and faithfully travels towards the looming unknown in Egypt. They are flanked by flowers. On the left are the Star of Bethlehem flowers, and on the right are stylized lotus flowers you might see in Egyptian art. In other icons of this pilgrimage, the Nile River often flows below, teeming with fish. But I chose to fill the water with lotus flowers, Egypt's national flower, and a symbol of regeneration. God is writing a new story, she says, transforming their destination, which swells with generational trauma and pain, into a haven of refuge and rebirth. Even along the way on this dangerous passage to Egypt, there are signs that new life is to come. Jesus is born as a way of God being present with this world. This world. This world that includes murderous rulers and families fleeing across borders for their lives. Since that world sounds so familiar, I am relieved to know that God is present with us now, here. But I must confess that this image of God being with us in the suffering wasn't always my image of God. Instead, my image of God resembled Santa, probably even down to the white beard, if I'm being totally embarrassingly honest about it. And that worked for a while. While my parents were still able to protect me, while those in older generations were able to keep me from real harm. But then came real life. Disappointment, heartbreak, people not being healed like I prayed for. I read more of the news and I realized that people were suffering around the world every day. And so my image of God shifted. The God who I know is with us now doesn't look like Santa. God isn't passing out good things as a response to prayers like wish lists. Things are not given out depending on whether you're good or bad, naughty or nice. But also, God doesn't go away the day after Christmas. God stays. God remains. One who has taught, guided many younger generations through her novels, A Wrinkle in Time and others, Madeleine L'Engle, always guiding towards love. Also wrote a bit about her faith and the writing life and some poems. This one she wrote in 1973, and so now we're at 50 years later. She writes, "This is no time for a child to be born. With the earth betrayed by war and hate and a comet slashing through the sky to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late. That was no time for a child to be born. In a land in the crushing grip of Rome, honor and truth were trampled by scorn. Yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on the planet Earth, and by a comet the sky is torn. Yet love still takes the risk of birth." It's that last line. Yet love still takes the risk of birth. A jealous ruler crossed borders, a murderous massacre of children, refugees running for their lives. This is the world that God enters into. It's not one of the holiday movies that I've been watching filled with the happily ever afters, but this world. In the song Run by the Brilliants, I hear again the risk and vulnerability of Mary and Joseph's yes to caring for a child, to loving the next generation. The risk of loving one so vulnerable in a world so full of hate, which is really the risk of loving. The more love we put into this world, the more we are at risk of heartbreak. The more we are at risk of losing an image of God that fits neatly within the image of Santa. In contrast, the Herod who meets the Magi responds with a great big no to the next generation. Rather than risk one child who might take his power someday, he orders a massacre of all the children of Bethlehem. How could this be? A ruler so afraid of the vulnerability of being human that he pretends to be God and removes the opportunity for life itself. This is where God chooses to dwell, even if it means running for the life of the child, until the child becomes a man and stops running, lets the suffering come in its ugliest form. The good news is that suffering does not run us off the map of God's presence. We will never cross a border into a place that God is not dwelling among us. But today we still find ourselves looking for solutions. But God is offering presence. It's heartbreaking when we realize that there are some things that won't be made better. It's in those situations that we are brought to that place in Bethlehem where the mothers are weeping, and we can come alongside them. Mark Iaconelli is a spiritual director and a story collector. He runs a nonprofit called The Hearth, and he recently wrote the book Between the Listening and the Telling, How Stories Can Save Us. He writes about how his work of story gathering brought him to Austin, Texas, and a free legal clinic being offered to local immigrants. He was hosted there by Monica Tourneau, a local activist, who asked him to bring the stories of the immigrants into the public eye. He set out clipboards and pens, and people were invited to write their stories. Most people who come to that clinic are undocumented, and when they meet with lawyers, they are told that they have no real legal protection. Mark writes about that day, "Monica and I stand and wait to talk with people as they leave. Some are in tears. Others look deeply tired, burdened, and weighted with worry. Many are dressed for work. Some have their children with them, although some are wary. A handful of people eventually put pen to paper. Sometimes a family gathers around and quietly reads over the shoulder as a parent or a spouse writes. Some parents speak their story out loud, while their teenage son or daughter transcribes. Some children have not fully understood the story of the parent, and there are tearful conversations as they comprehend their family's situation. They eventually collect 100 handwritten stories from undocumented immigrants. Monica carefully translates all the stories into English to be publicly displayed. Mars asks her what she hears in the stories. Monica closes her eyes and takes a deep breath. Weeping. They are weeping and pleading for mercy. We can't protect the children from all the harms of this world. But sometimes we forget that we can try. We can pass sensible gun laws. We can hold leaders accountable for the harm they do. We can put policies in place to reduce harm being done. We can run like Mary and Joseph and all the other parents who are running across borders even today. We can welcome those who run into our community, searching for their own safety, following their own star. The Magi are led by a star, we hear, by dreams. And it's good to ask ourselves every once in a while, what is guiding us toward what we seek? Perhaps it is the cries of those who are suffering that will lead you. Perhaps it's the willingness to love and protect the next generation so they can continue living the story. Perhaps it is the sense that God must be somewhere around the next corner, so I'm going to keep seeking. Or maybe you'll be guided by a question. The one that has been going through my life this past year is from the Bread of Life vision statement. It's the question, how can I honor the sacred in every person and all of creation? It's a big question to carry around most days. The Magi, in their own search, looked to past generations, to the wisdom of the prophets. They were willing to listen to those generations as they searched the world for what they were seeking, as they crossed borders to show hospitality to new life. They came bearing gifts and also a willingness to defy the ruler, to go home by another way instead of being co-opted into Herod's fear and anger. They too took risks in order to allow Jesus to take root and grow on this earth. You know, even being part of this community means that you are risking the vulnerability that comes with sharing your lives and your heart with one another. It does mean that you will hurt when another hurts, but it also means that no one will carry the suffering of this life alone. It means that there will be others to guide you. It means that you will come along side each other with gifts at the birth of new things and a sneaky route home when it's needed. But it also means if we follow the ways of God, we will be there when we've run out of solutions and new ways and stand in the suffering together. We can't, though, keep turning toward the suffering unless we're also deliberately seeing ourselves turning toward God, toward the holy. There are treasures to be found there. You've heard me talk a lot about this risk-taking of loving, but there's also the treasures. And the biggest one is that you're living a life that's real. The facades aren't there. You are your true self and find that self ever evolving the more you discover, the deeper you dive, the more you dig. You find you can love even more. You find you can receive love more readily. You will find others who might shelter you as you run. And you will find others who are willing to follow their own dreams and defy the evils of this world. I'm still discovering these things myself. And I'm excited about the riches to still be excavated, even though it's hard work at times. Like the Magi, when we open our treasure chests, we have gifts to give to the most vulnerable, to each other and to this world. And maybe the greatest gift is the courage to change direction in our lives toward love in order to allow the seeds of the next generation to grow. May it be so. Amen.
Friends, one of the ways that Jesus would practice that risk-taking movement of love was to gather with those that were closest to him around a table and to do what some call just the most intimate thing, to break bread. We have a teenage daughter now, and as Jen was sharing her story about the Yakinali family, I was remembering being on a boat going up to Holden Village in the Cascade Mountains of Central Washington. And one of the elders in my life, her name is Dorothy Bass, was there on that boat with us. And they had a teenage daughter at the time. And I couldn't imagine what that was like. I was 22. And they were sharing that the thing that they were most anxious about as their daughter was becoming a teenager was when they would sit down and break bread, share a meal with someone. Not a first date, but a first time of breaking bread, the most intimate thing that people can do together. And Jesus practiced that kind of risk-taking over and over, and then invited us into the vulnerability of that same practice. That would become what we call the table, the sacrament of communion, Eucharist, the breaking of the bread. And so we turn with the vulnerable, risk-taking God who seeks for us to run and to be safe places of shelter for those who are hurting, for Herod's among us and within us are real. And we do that now by preparing our hearts and our minds to come to the table with all the questions and hopes for the year ahead, with all the doubts and uncertainties. The real, as Jen so beautifully named it, is here, and so is God with us in the breaking of bread. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able for those that are in the sanctuary. And we're going to turn to what the church calls a prayer of confession, practicing acknowledging aloud some of the ways that we are caught up in the brokenness, the Herod of this world. And so I invite us to join our voices and to pray together. God of starlight, we know that faith isn't a vending machine. Good news can't be bought or manufactured. It does not arrive with a push of a button. Instead, in this noisy world, we have to look for you in our midst. We have to walk toward you just as the Magi did. We have to believe that love really can change the world. We have to seek the stars beyond the city lights. Forgive us for forgetting that. Forgive us for seeking you with only part of our hearts. We long to be more like the Magi. May we walk your way every single day. Amen.
Friends, I have nothing but good news. Since the very first day, God has taken the pieces of our hearts that we have offered up and has said, I can work with that. Mm-hmm. Even in our failings, God has washed us with words of grace, belonging, and love. No matter what star you've followed, no matter how many borders you've crossed, no matter how many new routes you had to take, you belong to God. God loves you. God forgives you. God claims you. End of story. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. I invite us to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the beloved presence of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
invite us to join our voices with the generations who have gone before us, praying what the church calls the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer attributed to Jesus that's been formed and reformed over the years as the church comes together around the table. So here, we encourage and invite you to address God in whatever intimate way that might be for you. So let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Loving God, pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts. Make these gifts for us your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen. I invite those in the sanctuary to be seated. Here at the table, we practice what we call an open communion table. This is an expression of God's hope and love, and it is a table that indeed all are called to in this moment. For those that are online, we encourage you to gather whatever you might use this day for your bread and for your juice. As Pastor Linda so often says here in this space, you cannot make a mistake. So we will be in this together. Sarneet and our team of folks are going to move outside with both the bread and the cup. There will be, this is freshly baked bread by Chloe and her dancing daughter in the back of the sanctuary this morning. And you'll find that bread and also a gluten-free option outside. And then the cup always in the United Methodist Church is filled with grape juice, just for those who might need to know that information. I want to make a couple of notes as we move in this way. Deirdre is holding beautiful cards that have been prepared for us by Jen Martinez and the folks with Sanctified Art. Jen named in her message a question which has been guiding her over this last year. And one of the practices or the gifts that we want to invite you to go away with this day is a form of that. And it's a gift from us to you. And this is a word. And so we did this a couple of years ago as a community of faith where we selected a star word ourselves. This year, we're going to allow the star words to be given to us. And the invitation then is for you to spend the year holding that word in all of the different forms that it might take to you. For those of us that are in person, this will be a fairly simple process. When you come forward or to go outside for communion, right next to the communion will be Deirdre and others who will have those words to gift for you. If you need to take one of those for a friend or a neighbor, you're welcome to do that. For those online, this will be a little bit more complicated. The invitation for those online is to share a number, I'm looking at a math teacher, a number between 1 and 160. When you share that number, Kara Tupi, who is with us online, will match your number with your star word. And for those that are watching this worship after it's already concluded, you email us and we'll figure out how to get you a star word. So, friends, with all of the instructions, but knowing that none of them are really needed, we cannot make a mistake in this divine dance that is God's love. May we trust and know that this is the body of Christ and the bread of life, broken for you and for the whole world. And this is the cup of God's love poured out for you and for all of creation. Amen.
Thank you.
We encourage those that are praying with candles and still discerning star words to take just as long as you need. God of open horizons, open roads, like the Magi so many years ago, we are here seeking you. Step by step, we've wandered into this moment with the hope of feeling you in our midst. Step by step, you have claimed us, loved us, and fed us. So today, we have drawn star words. For some, these words are full of meaning, and for some, they'll be filled with challenge and invitation, even in these first moments. For others, these words are a blank canvas, inviting you into our lives. So as a new year dawns, we pray that just as you have spoken to the generations before us, that you would speak to us in the year ahead. Allow us to use these star words as a tool that might help us to listen with attentiveness to your spirit. May these star words guide us as the star guided the Magi. And in a year, may we find ourselves here together again, with mouths full of praise for the ways in which you have accompanied us, been present with us. So together with the saints who have gone before us, we offer this time and our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We encourage you to continue listening as you might find yourself living with a little bit of trepidation around the word that you have selected, or it might be bringing up deep hope within you to trust that God will work on us in these single, simple words that might have a depth that we have yet to tap into. We hope that you'll respond to God's love as you are called, and we know that takes many, many forms. One of the ways that we do that here at the table is through our Christmas offering, and our offering looks like it's just up over $15,000 already for the Christmas offering, and we'll make this our last Sunday to continue giving generously to support those two important ministries. The first is the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet, where we are accompanying neighbors who are experiencing food insecurity, food apartheid, and then the second portion of our Christmas offering will go here to a new social enterprise that we've started called Table Bread. And the image around Table Bread is that we'll bake and break bread together, and then the proceeds from that will help fund our efforts to have the farm in South Sacramento and to grow food alongside neighbors for neighbors. So if you make a gift today, just note Christmas on it if you place that in the offering, or you can do that online, or always to give generously to support the ways that our ministries are joining with God's love alive in the world. We invite those that are online to stay if you would like to connect with others. Kara will be there online. If you'd like to check in about Star Words, you're welcome to do that. You might feel led to share your Star Word with someone outside. There could be some trading of Star Words going on even. We'll let that figure out. Oh, Deirdre's overruled that. There will be no trading of Star Words. We're not a very good group with rules, so if you trade on, we'll trust that it's all going to work out. Our musicians are going to send us this morning in song. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. This is O Gracious Light.
Dispel the darkness of our hearts, that by your brightness we may know the light, incarnate Word. Grant that the light deep and kindled in our hearts may shine forth and give us divine light.
Clear, beautiful nights, maybe even a star. Amen.
Bring your peace, oh my love. Bring your peace, gracious one. Oh, gracious light.